Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like... You can fill in the blank. You've your own people you're glad you're not like. I have mine. It's not too hard these days to think of people that we're really glad we're not like. And in fact, most days it's harder to think of people that we're glad we are like. And if we're really honest, it can feel pretty good to judge those people. They're the worst. Have you seen how they're ruining our country? Those feckless Democrats who've shut down our government to keep giving our hard-earned tax dollars to illegal immigrants. Those nasty Republicans who just want to disappear every person of color in our country and install a de facto king in the White House. Those awful, no good, terrible global South Anglicans who choose schism over unity. Those out of touch liberal Episcopalians who keep choosing social concerns over the gospel. You get the point. I don't need to go on, we could. These polarizing, divisive opinions are all around us. They are everywhere we look. They're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on the nightly news, they're in the Substacks we read. Everywhere, from every side, there are voices trying to convince us to grow further and further apart. And no matter how much we try to shut out the noise, it just keeps knocking at the door. It is persistent. And that sound calls us to hate and dislike and distrust our neighbor. And slowly, without our even noticing it, it begins to take root in our hearts. We make jokes about people we dislike. We turn off the lights at home rather than speak to our neighbor whose politics are different than ours. We share distasteful and disparaging social media content about those we dislike. And when no one is around, we raise our hands in the air and say, God, I thank you that I'm not like Democrats. I thank you that I'm not like the Republicans, that I'm not white or black or gay or straight or a Steelers fan, whatever it is. Because we know that we're better than they are. We know that we are more righteous than they are. That it's we, not them, that God truly loves. You see, this progression is what happened to our dear friend the Pharisee we meet in the temple this morning. And it's worth noting, friends, that in Jesus's time, the Pharisees were the good guys. Right? They're the ones who went to church every Friday, read Sunday. They gave a tenth of their income, no more, no less, to help the poor, the widow, and the orphan. They fasted to grow closer to God. The Pharisee this morning is so close to doing the right thing. His prayer is so very close to being righteous. His problem, though, is that he began to believe his own hype. He believed that he was righteous, and that was the beginning of his downfall. The second thing that's important to remember this morning is that tax collectors are not pitiable figures. The man who shows up in the back of the temple this morning, that man would not have been liked or trusted or thought fondly of by anybody who heard this parable in the first century. Tax collectors were awful. They're cheats, liars, thieves. The only way they made money was to take extra money from the people they took taxes from. And yet, there he is in the back of the temple, humbly, quietly praying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We hear Jesus say that that man, that tax collector, went home and was justified. That man went home and changed his life. He was justified because he changed. So we learn two things in this parable. One, no matter how righteous a person may seem, they are not above reproach. And two, no person, no matter how terrible their actions are, is beyond salvation. Each of us is capable of falling. Each of us is capable of repenting and changing our lives. The Pharisee was terribly close to the perfect prayer. He just put the period in the wrong place. I'll read it again to refresh your memory. He prays, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." Had he put the period after "you," his prayer would have been perfect. "God, I thank you," period. Perfection. An older priest once said to me, "There's no better prayer than thank you." And I believe it. The core of our worship is thanksgiving. Eucharist means thanksgiving. We are here this morning to give thanks to God. And we shouldn't be thieves or rogues or adulterers, right? Don't read that into me moving the period up. We should be regular in prayer and corporate worship. We should fast. We should give of our resources to build up the kingdom of God through the work of the church. But those things shouldn't be sources of pride, because we only accomplish them through the grace of God. And for that, we give thanks. Another thing that I believe to be true is that each of us falls short of the glory of God. We are, in ways big and small, sinful. And for that, we should learn the prayer of the tax collector. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The tax collector's prayer this morning forms the basis of what is widely known in the church as the Jesus Prayer, most often translated as, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." When we pray this prayer, we do not do it to beat up ourselves or belittle ourselves. We do it while honestly taking an account of our shortcomings and our failings, the ways great and small that we do not earnestly and fully honor the image of God we were created in. Those two prayers, "Thank you," "bless you." Not that one. The second one is, "have mercy on me." But those two prayers, "thank you" and "have mercy on me," should be the foundations of our prayer life. At every moment, we should find ourselves giving thanks, in the good moments and in the bad. In the moments where it seems where there is no light in the world, we should give thanks. And in the moments where we are so overcome by light that we can barely focus, we should give thanks. As soon as we walk out of liturgy feeling awfully good about ourselves, we should say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. When we think ill of our neighbor, we should pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. If we pray these two prayers every day, again and again and again, our lives will never be the same. We will not hate our neighbor. We will not be drawn into the temptation to judge others. We will be justified in our prayers. God, I thank you. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. My friends, these two prayers are the beginning of the revolution in our world so desperately needs. Pray then. Join that revolution. Repent. Give thanks. And then be welcomed into the Holy of the Holies by our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.